This is PhotoBizX, episode number 392, and today's special guest was named one of the top 30 rising stars in wedding photography. She was named one of the top 100 wedding photographers in the US, and she's now transitioned into boudoir photography and built up a successful business that is thriving due to her marketing strategies immediately after restrictions have eased in the US in regards to COVID. I'm talking about Lindsay Height from showyourspark.com, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. It's a fun interview today with Lindsay. I know you're going to love what she has to share. Whether or not you photograph boudoir photography or women's empowerment, as Lindsay has taught me to say, we'll refer to that genre from now on. I know you'll get a ton from what she has to share. We are going to jump straight into things today after all the announcements in the last couple of episodes. I do have one announcement for you that I'm going to share after today's interview with Lindsay, and that's going to be specifically for you if you are a branding or headshot photographer. So stick around for that one. And if you didn't catch last week's interview with Megan Brookelman, you are in for a real treat, particularly if you photograph weddings, because her techniques and strategies for booking couples at reception venue open houses and utilizing Instagram just might change the way you think about generating bookings in your local area. And I know you'll get a ton from what she had to share in last week's episode. So get back and have a listen if you haven't heard that one. But for now, let me introduce Lindsay and we'll get into this week's interview. Oh, and just one more thing. If you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. And what that means is I'm going to be saving the second half, or the bulk of the second half of today's interview with Lindsay, for premium members only. So if you are loving what Lindsay shares in the first half of this interview, and I know you will, and you'd like to hear more from Lindsay when we get into the specific details of how she's marketing to her group, how she's structuring her pricing, encouraging potential clients to pay into a fund that's there and ready to spend on photography when they are, you can hear all those details and so much more by becoming a premium member. And you can do that for as little as $1 with a 30-day trial membership. Details on that are at photobizx.com/try.
Welcome to another great eye for business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest was named one of the top 30 rising stars in wedding photography by Rangefinder magazine. And she was named in the top 100 wedding photographers in the US by Brand Smash. She started her business in 2009 and she focused purely on wedding photography. Fast forward to 2016, she wanted to slowly start a transition into boudoir photography and pivot away from only shooting weddings. She launched her new business, Show Your Spark, in 2018, and she opened her newly renovated studio early the following year. She says that this change of direction truly allowed her to survive and thrive throughout the coronavirus shutdowns, fostering her private Facebook community of over 1,500 women, and she's been busy since reopening. She just sold her photo booth brand and she's working on launching a new headshot business as well. I'm talking about the incredible Lindsay Height from Boston, USA, and I'm rapt to have her with us now. Lindsay, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew. I'm excited to be here.
Look, just me reading that intro, it makes me feel like you are an absolute powerhouse. I mean, first of all, I guess, why the transition out of weddings and into the boudoir photography?
Oh my gosh, that's like the million-dollar question. I just fell in love with that one-on-one experience that I was able to give people, first in their homes and then when I built the studio in the studio, and being able to really focus in on the person and their confidence, their strength, like what motivates them, regardless of, you know, what milestone is or isn't happening in their life, was so inspiring to me. And that transformation from, you know, before to after the session was just so addicting to see. So once I got a taste of that, I really couldn't turn back.
And what about financially? I mean, did that sort of play a role in your decision to, you know, to make that pivot?
I'll be honest, that was a really big risk because I had a lot of success in weddings. I'm thankful to have built up a really amazing wedding business over the years. And I reached a really profitable point as a wedding photographer, both with post-wedding album sales and, you know, working with my clients to bring it all together. I worked in luxury weddings for a while. So it was a big risk. I wasn't sure if people would be willing to invest in boudoir. And I have slowly been building up a wonderful client base, and they are investing in themselves. It's a different, just a totally different like investment schedule. And also, you know, we're not limited to Saturdays only or Sundays only. So there's just more opportunities throughout the week, depending on different schedule, different clients' budgets and things like that. So it evens out, if that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. Because I mean, I had a look because your wedding photography website is still up and running. So are you still taking wedding bookings? It looks like you're not in 2021. So does that mean that's the end of weddings?
Yes, the coronavirus presented an opportunity there. You know, I just became so passionate about women's empowerment photography in my studio and even family lifestyle, just these little stories that I get the chance to tell, which are big stories in reality. It gave me the opportunity to look beyond weddings because let's face it, weddings weren't happening for a long time this year. And there's a lot of doubt around the future of live events, even for a little bit of the foreseeable future. So I was able to reasonably say, you know, I'm no longer booking weddings in 2021. My long-term plan was actually to phase out weddings this year. And I only booked 4 weddings this year on purpose. And they were with really specific couples whose stories really resonated with me. And they all moved to 2021. So I moved with them. But that's it.
Wow. So before that, or before you made the transition into, are you calling it boudoir photography? Is that what you call it?
So in speaking with my clients, I use the term women's empowerment. Boudoir is sort of the SEO friendly term, what some people might be searching for or familiar with. But I am really passionate about calling it women's empowerment because I think that people deserve to feel confident in the boudoir, the bedroom, but also in the boardroom, on the street, in the classroom, you know, in the gym, wherever she is needing that confidence boost and needing to remember her power and her strength. I want her to feel it there.
Got it. So before transitioning to the women's empowerment genre, and weddings were, you know, making up the bulk of your income, looking at your starting prices, I think on your site are $4,500 US. And then you talked about album editions afterwards. So what kind of revenue were you doing in the wedding photography business at its peak?
Yeah. So on average, my wedding bookings were more in the 6,500 range. And then after album sales, they were more in the $8,000 to $10,000 range, sometimes upwards of $12,000 for weddings. And that's all inclusive of, you know, all the albums, parent albums, etc.
Okay. So before I applaud you and say, wow, what a great business, how many weddings were you shooting?
Yeah. So once I was able to really reach those numbers, I focused in. So when I reached those numbers, I was shooting more like 12 to 8 weddings a year. On the earlier side, before I was doing post-wedding album sales and I just, you know, sent them a gallery and called it a day, I was doing around 22 to 18 on average a year. So definitely more high volume, but I was leaving a lot of money on the table because I just didn't know any better.
Yeah. So if I extrapolate those numbers, so you had a six-figure business, like in the low 100s?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
And have you been able to replace that income with the women's empowerment genre?
Yes, this year. Well, this has been a crazy year number-wise for everybody, but my numbers are looking like it has completely replaced weddings for 2020. And it's been really wonderful to see. My average boudoir investment is around $2,000. So obviously it's not as much as a single wedding, but when I do about three a week, it really brings it up to what I was doing for weddings.
Fantastic. That's so good. And you've got your Saturdays back, or most of them.
Yes. Yes. I work more of a 9-to-5 and I have my Saturdays back. It's a really nice work-life balance.
That is so good. So, I mean, so knowing and having all the experience that you had with the wedding photography business, you decide to make the change over to women's empowerment. You must really be able to hit the ground running because you go in with your eyes wide open. So what did you do first? I mean, was it get a website? Was it look for a, you know, was it buy studio lighting and learn how to use that? Like, where were you in the grand scheme of things?
That's a really good question. The first place I started was renting a room on Breather. I'm not sure if you have that, but it's like Airbnb for office space. I said, I just want a room with one window. I didn't have my studio. I just want to play. And my friend, who is a dancer, Gabby, she agreed to let me photograph her in this room because I really wanted to dumb it down for myself and be able to see what I could create with one light source, one couch, and one person. So I played in that scenario. Then I believe that I did some sort of a model call to help tell people's stories with my existing portrait and wedding website before I launched a separate site. I just wanted to see what sort of interest was out there. And, you know, I'd photographed boudoir for wedding clients in the past, either on their wedding day during getting ready or, you know, following up for their anniversary afterwards. So I'd had experience there, but I really wanted to start from just a dumbed down creative perspective where I could really get into how this would work in a space. So I started there and then I started going to people's homes from there to create the portraits that we were looking for. And I did that for about a year, bringing my makeup artist with me, going all over the state. And then I decided, you know what? It's time to take the leap. This is a viable business model, clearly. I'm having a bit of success with it. So I took the plunge, invested in a studio space and completely renovated it and went from there.
Wow. Okay. So with the, did you say Breather was the name of the website to find these office space rooms?
Yes. It's an app for temporary office space. You can rent for like an hour, 2 hours, whatever you need.
Okay. So was the plan then to keep using, you know, those kind of locations to photograph paying clients, or was that just to get your portfolio established and work things out for yourself?
That was really my first ever shoot. I just knew sort of I wanted this creative space to just be able to see what we could make with one window, one couch, and one person and test myself. And then from there, you know, if people didn't have a space that they liked at their home, I would offer that as an option. We did Airbnb, we did hotels. And then I just got sick of the lack of control. So I said, you know what? Studio time. Let's do this.
Right. Okay. So when you were going into people's homes or renting office space or Airbnbs, were you bringing studio lighting or just relying on available light?
When I was going on location, I was really relying on available light. I was shooting with my 35, 1.4, my 50, really opening it up as much as I could. And that was, again, one of the reasons why I wanted a studio, because sometimes the only good window light was like in their kitchen or in the living room. Like I have an old sample album and the whole shoot was like in the corner of her living room near her air conditioner, you know, out of frame, of course. But I just moved every bit of furniture to this corner because that's where the light was.
So you didn't bring any supplementary lighting, it was just all available light. So was that the catalyst to get the studio, or was it to, I guess, to increase your sales, to look more professional? What was the reason for the studio?
I'll be honest with you, Andrew, for the most of my life, professional photography career, I was intimidated by studio lighting. That's a big reason why I didn't have a studio sooner. I was intimidated by the idea of creating something from scratch. And as a wedding photographer, I loved being inspired by what was available, what was around me, you know, being inspired by different light sources, working with what I had. And then when I had the studio, I said, okay, I need to figure this out. So obviously I chose a space with great natural light in part of it, but in the back part, I really wanted it to be like this dark and moody specific aesthetic that, you know, was inspired by Caravaggio and the Dutch masters and this sort of, you know, beautiful, sensual, dark light. So I started really basic, and I still use a lot of these lights now, which is LED continuous lighting, because I like being able to see what I'm working with and see it on my subjects. So I have the daylight half, and then I have the dark and moody half with all studio lighting.
Right. So is all your studio lighting today constant light, LED light source?
Yes. Most of the time I use that. I do have some strobes and I have MagMod as well. So I have a MagMod softbox, which I use for on-location headshots and things like that. And I use it in the studio if I need it. But for my women's empowerment work, 95% of the time it's LED or natural light.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. Okay. So getting away from the creative side of things, let me just stay with this for 1 second. You go into the studio, you haven't mentioned a website yet. So are you still running off your personal website, or has the new website been launched at this point?
I think I launched the new website in like 2018 before I had this studio. Okay. Yeah, that was around when the brand made its debut, when I launched my VIP Facebook group, when I was doing the sort of model call for women to, you know, tell their story about what they were proud of. I can't even remember at this point what I said in that ad, but that all sort of came together at the same time.
Okay. And then with those first clients, were they all coming, you know, via email to your past wedding clients, or was it a brand new subset of clients that you went out and found on social media or running ads or however you did it?
Yeah. So some of them were from past wedding clients, some were from personal referrals, past client referrals. And again, the Facebook group, which I started, I invited everyone I knew, all the women in my life. And on the side, as a hobby, I'm actually a fitness instructor. So a lot of my early clients were fellow fitness instructors that I knew from that community. So I'm very thankful to, you know, have had that support from that community. And a lot of my early clients were from that really close, tight network of people.
Right. So how did they feel? Because they were coming then, say, from your fitness clients into the, as a photography client. So were they happy to pay for photography?
Oh, yeah. They were very excited. There were definitely people who, you know, when you're wearing different hats and people know you from different aspects of your life, there's definitely people who value the experience that you're offering more than others. And once I understood how to communicate and once I realized what it was people were looking for, then the value translated. But I will say figuring out my message, figuring out my communication, helping my clients understand the journey that they were on and the investment they were about to take was a big part of making sure that everyone felt like we were in it together and that they had a successful experience and that they were happy to invest. So did that answer your question?
It did. Okay. So that brings on the next big question is how do you get your message once you feel like you've refined it to a point where it makes sense to you and to your client? What I'm trying to understand is you're offering to empower these women, but if you're selling the idea of a session, of a photographic session with you, are you telling them that they need to have this photography session to feel empowered? Is that the gist of it?
That's a great question. So true empowerment can only come from within. I can't give someone else power if they don't feel it themselves. So where I always begin with clients is asking them why they want to do the session and what they want to experience, what they want to feel at the end of it. I delve into, you know, how do you want to feel? What are you proud of? And really getting to know who they are as a person and learning what they would like to see. So instead of me saying, you need this, I get to learn from them why they think they need it and how I can help them and really start to delve into, you know, what their strengths are, what they're proud of, and using those as touch points later on that they can be reminded of when they see the photos, when they see themselves looking confident and strong, you know, later on in their life, and they need that reminder. So really, all of it comes from within my client, and I just help bring it out and contextualize it for them.
So when you ask a woman what she wants to get out of the session, how she wants to feel, you know, during and after the session, like what kind of answers are you getting? And when you ask about their, you know, their strengths, are they giving you physical attributes or are they giving you personality attributes?
Yes. So that is a really good question too, because sometimes they ask me the same thing. They say, wait, are you talking about, you know, what's my favorite physical attribute or, you know, what do I like about myself? I say, okay. I say, if their best friend was sitting here with us and I asked her or him, you know, or their partner, what they admire most about this person, what would they say? And the answers that I get are so beautiful because we're so rarely able to openly compliment ourselves. It makes people very uncomfortable. So when I ask them how their partner would describe them or how their best friend, that's when we really get to see what their true attributes are and what they're proud of too. So sometimes I hear, you know, I'm really thoughtful. I'm always caring for other people. Sometimes I hear, I am resilient because I've been through hell and back in my life and I've overcome it. Nothing can hold me down. Sometimes I hear, I'm trying to think of some other examples, but a lot of people have, you know, been through a lot and they want to reclaim a part of their personality or, you know, who they are at their core. So that tends to come out. And sometimes people say, you know, I really love my hair or my eyes, or, you know, I have really strong legs or some other physical attribute that they're proud and they want to show off as well.
Right. So if someone or a partner says to you, you know, I've been to hell and back, I've come out the other side, I feel good about myself and where I'm at right now, like, how does that help you or how does that translate to the studio and the session?
Okay, that's great. Because last week I had a client in and her final photo, she wanted to wear her camo pants. She wanted to mess up her hair. And we even put smoke in the studio and she wanted to feel like the warrior that she feels like she is. And for her, that directly translated to that photo of her looking like this warrior who came out on top. But for other women, it's more subtle and just seeing their confident, free, relaxed expression translates to that they've won. They've overcome everybody who told them that they couldn't. They've overcome trauma. They've overcome abuse or, you know, cancer. Some people have beat so much in their past, and just being able to stand there and say, this is me. I'm confident in my skin. I feel good. I feel beautiful. And seeing that on their face when they see those photos later, it is remarkable. So it's hard to put into words until you've seen it happen right in front of you. And just knowing that everyone has their own journey and being able to stand there and say, I'm enough. I deserve this. And I am strong right here.
I love it. I love it. So it sounds to me like you need to have some pretty deep conversations before the session even happens. And if you have the right conversation, it's going to lead to a great session, great photos, great sales. Everyone's going to be happy. So is your main aim when you get an inquiry, is it to have a face-to-face conversation or does it have to, is just a phone conversation? What are you looking to get after you hear from a lead, if we call it that? Are you looking to have a pre-shoot consult, a phone call? What happens?
Yes, we always start with a phone call. And I have to credit one of my mentors, Steve Saporito, for that because he helped me see why a phone call is irreplaceable. You just can't get across over text or email the nuances of someone's, you know, not to be cheesy, but someone's heart, someone's motivation, you know, why they're doing this. So we always start with a phone call. Even if they first inquire on an Instagram DM or a Facebook message, you know, I have them fill out my contact form. I use my scheduling software to set up a date, and we get started from there so that I can really get into it. Plus, they don't know what they're asking or what they're signing up for. They're like, okay, I want some photos done, but they have no clue about what it could be, you know, what's waiting for them, what the experience could be like for them. So that's what we discover together.
Nice. And is that you making these phone calls, or is it, and I didn't ask you earlier, is there more than you in the business?
So yes, I make the phone calls, but I do have a studio manager who helps me with the production side of things and just keeping things rolling, you know, on the infrastructure level.
Right. Sorry, what's her name?
Oh, her name's Jen.
Jen. So Jen, like, she's answering phones, she's doing post-production, but she's not doing that face-to-face. She's not shooting, she's not doing the phone call, she's not doing the sales.
Yeah, so what Jen helps me with is pretty specific. She helps me with workflow and order fulfillment. I still do all the phone calls, the retouching, and the shooting. But what Jen helps me with is sort of keeping track of all the different order progress, creating systems and flows, touch points for clients, just making sure that we're not dropping the ball anywhere. And she's really organized and great at that.
Awesome. I love it. Jen sounds amazing. And what about hair and makeup?
Oh, yes. I have fabulous hair and makeup artists that I work with. I work with two on a regular basis, and I have a number of other amazing people if they're already booked or unavailable.
And then do they get paid whenever they get booked, or are they, like, how does payment work for them? And is the client paying them, or are you paying them?
So I choose to include hair and makeup in the session fee so that that's not a question. Clients don't have to, you know, think about that value. It's just, oh, great, it's already included. I book it for them so that they don't even have to worry about those logistics or adding one more thing to their to-do. So I pay my hair and makeup artist directly from my business account, and it just comes out of the session fee.
Got it. What is the session fee?
So currently my session fee as of fall 2020 is $400, and hair and makeup just comes out of that.
Got it. Okay. So you've had the phone call with me, I'm the client, and I've fallen in love with the idea. I've opened right up, told you how much of a warrior that I am, and I'm ready to book a session.
Awesome.
So is that it now? Do you try and book me in, you open your calendar and book me in for a session right then and there, or do you send me a way to go and use your calendar software? How does that happen?
Yes. So I book right in on the phone so that we can look at the calendar together. I take a credit card over the phone, and then I send them the paperwork so that I hold their credit card info so that the date is temporarily reserved, but it officially gets reserved once they sign off on the agreement, go over all of the details so that I make sure that they have everything they need to go in with open eyes, all the information. And then once they sign that, the date is booked, it's theirs, and we start getting them ready with little tips and helpful bits of info leading up to their session.
And that all happens via email?
Yes, email. Sometimes people post as they're getting ready in my Facebook group and they need advice. I do phone calls with them. I also like to call their significant other if they're aware of the shoot, if it's not a surprise situation, or I like to talk to their best friend. So all of that happens before the session.
Okay. So these are all the kind of things that Steve teaches. So you're really taking what he's teaching on board and reaching out to the significant people in their lives to get a better idea about the client.
Yes. Yeah. For me, it's integral. Plus, if they're going to be a part of the ordering session afterwards, it's key that they also know what to expect, that they have an idea of the pricing so that they can really go in as a collaborator and help the client make the right choice for themselves.
Okay. So let's say I'm the one that's booking the session for me. I'm a female and you want to speak to my husband or my partner. Do you actually send him the pricing as well?
So we go over it on the phone together. They also have the link in my client portal, but I do talk to the partner about, you know, what they might have in mind, what they would like to see. So I quote them for a specific piece and also just give them an idea of the general range so that there are no surprises. You know, no one likes to be caught off guard. But I let them choose once they're in the design consult room, in the ordering session, they can decide. But I like to give them as much information as they need to feel prepared.
I love that. I love that. Because I mean, there's nothing more horrible and just yucky than being surprised about pricing when you get into that order situation.
Yes.
You've mentioned, Lindsay, that your Facebook group, and I'm guessing that plays an integral role in your business. At which stage of the process, if I'm not already in your group, when do I go into the group or get added to the group?
Oh, wow. So a lot of people hang out in the group for maybe even a year before they book a session. Some people join the group after they book a session. And some people are in the group who might never have a session. They just really like the, you know, uplifting content that we share. They may add their friends who end up booking a session. So it's a private Facebook group, but it's open to women in the community who just want to come together and support each other. So I encourage people to join it really at any point in their journey, whether they're booking with me or if they don't even know if they want a session or not.
Yeah, right. Okay. If you're looking at your business as a whole, the empowerment side of the business, how many of your clients are coming from the group and how many are coming from, you know, outside the group, percentage-wise, even like roughly?
That's a good question. It's funny because I was thinking about that today with a specific client and she's been referred to me three different ways, right? So my best wedding clients, to kind of go back to my wedding days, had, you know, been referred to me by maybe their planner, their friend worked with me, and they saw a wedding of mine in Style Me Prettier Than Not. So they had like three layers of reinforcement. And I find that my best Spark clients are also, you know, in the group, maybe their friend has had a session and maybe they've heard of me some other way. So there's sort of multi-layers of where the inquiries are coming from. If it were the group alone, maybe half and half. I have a number of different ways that people can work up to a session over time with different payment plan options. And sometimes they like dip their toe in if they're not sure when they want to do a session, but they want to start planning for it. I have other people who lurk in the Facebook group and I don't even know they're there until they inquire with me and they say, I've been here 2 years and I'm so excited. I've been like checking everything out. So it's a tough metric to nail down, Andrew, but it helps prepare people's mindset and get them ready to book or get them more excited once they have booked.
Okay. All right. So I guess it was a bit of a, I don't want to say leading question, but it was going to help me ask the next series of questions. Because what I'm thinking, or what I'm curious about, is your number one aim to get as many women as possible into the group because that's where the majority of your clients are coming from? Or are you doing additional marketing so people book directly, whether they're in your group or not?
Gotcha. Yes, the group is key to getting people ready to book. Sometimes they book on their own because, you know, they've already been familiar with my work or maybe they're not even on Facebook. But for the majority of people, they start to get curious and then they see other people posting about their experiences. And, you know, then they start thinking about what it would be like to have their own experience. So being in the group is integral for building the client base and also having the best experience after people have booked, because then they get to see behind the scenes and really become invested in their own experience at a whole other level because they're future pacing and wondering what it would be like for themselves. So I do various ways to grow my group because that's where I can launch limited edition series, if I'm doing a flash sale or a Black Friday sale or, you know, other fun promotions or just little things, ways to reward my members. That's where I'm really showing up. That's where I'm really present. And that's where we're getting a lot of testimonials and lots of good content.
Got it. Okay.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm the same as you. I mean, I'm the first to say I'd love to get off Facebook or any social media, but sometimes you've got to be there if that's where the clients are. It makes sense.
Yep.
Lindsay, this has been a real pleasure. I've loved hearing about your journey and I'm so excited for your future and I'm looking forward to following up again down the road, especially about the Spark Fund. I absolutely love that idea and what you're doing. So for the listener, where is the best place for them to go and check out your work and see more about what you're doing?
Well, thank you so much for having me. The best place, if you guys want to get in touch, you can find me at showyourspark.com or on Instagram at Spark by Lindsay Height. And thank you for allowing me to talk with you today, Andrew. This was such a blast.
Oh, look, it was my pleasure. And for the listener, I'll add links to those URLs that Lindsay just mentioned and also all the other links I found on her where she's hanging out and where she's active. So you can check out more of her stuff. Lindsay, again, massive thanks for coming on. It's been a real pleasure for me.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day, Andrew.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Lindsay as much as I did. Lindsay, if you're listening, again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything you did. I love the way you are looking at your genre, the way you're generating business, the way you're servicing your clients, and just the business and marketing ideas that you shared with us today. So again, massive thanks for coming on, sharing what you did. For you, the listener, I do hope you feel the same way. I hope you got a ton from what Lindsay had to share. Was there one thing that she did share that you thought, yes, absolutely, I will be implementing that into my business? Because if there is, I would love to hear about it. Let me know. I'm sure Lindsay will as well. Now, if you want to hit Lindsay up with any extra questions, maybe just want to say thanks for coming on the show, you can do that in the comments area of the show notes, or you can get in touch with her directly. I've got links to anything and everything that she mentioned in the show notes for today's episode, including some examples of her beautiful work. All that is at photobizx.com/392. And of course, if you are a premium member, I'll be adding Lindsay into our members' Facebook group. So you'll have immediate and easy access to her there if you do have a follow-up question. Or again, if you just want to say thanks for coming on and sharing what you did.
It's shout-out time.
I've got one big shout-out for today's episode. And this one goes to UK wedding photographer who goes by the, I guess, handle in iTunes of Astro Trotty. So Astro Trotty, if this is you, you have to get in touch and let me know who you are because I want to say a proper thanks and I really want to add a link to your website URL from the PhotoBizX podcast to help you with your SEO. It's my little way to say thank you for leaving such an amazing review in iTunes. The title for this incredible review is The Single Biggest Source of Photography Business Growth Information Out There. And Astro Trotty wrote in the review, I sign up to read and listen to a lot of content and there are pockets of brilliant stuff out there. But hands down, there is no better source of information than PhotoBizX. The way Andrew delves deep in interviews in the premium element means there are always applicable takeaways I can put forward into my business. I stopped looking for the secret source a while ago and realized a successful business is about applying lots of different things that swing my business forward collectively. I believe the vast majority of my 60 bookings this year have been due to elements in Andrew's podcast. I am truly thankful to have found this resource. Wow. So Astro Trotty, first of all, again, massive thanks for that review. You have to let me know who you are so I can say thank you properly. And massive congrats on booking 60 weddings this year. That is awesome. Fantastic. I want to hear more. So again, please let me know who you are so I can say a proper thanks.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
I mentioned at the top of the show that if you are a personal branding photographer or a headshot photographer that's looking to introduce personal branding into your business, I've got an announcement for you, and that is that there is a virtual summit happening on January 22nd, 21. That's a bit confusing, isn't it? It's happening on January 22nd in 2021, so next January. Now, this online summit has been put together by Maurice Yeager. You may be familiar with that name because Maurice has been featured on the podcast in the past. And you'll be happy to know that there are a number of past interview guests also appearing and sharing in this virtual summit. Names like Jen Rosenbaum, Heidi Hapanovitz, John D'Amato, Maurice Yeager, and Peter Hurley, plus others that I have not interviewed that I'm sure will be amazing presenters. Now, if you are a branding photographer, just be aware this particular summit is not going to be discussing gear, f-stops, lighting tips. This is all about business and business growth and the strategies that these photographers used to grow their personal branding businesses. So I'm going to leave a link in the show notes where you can go and learn more. But if you do use the link personalbrandingforphotographers.com/photobizx, you will save $200 on the cost of the summit. And I think it brings it down to an incredible $99. Now, this is for PhotoBizX listeners only, and you must use that link to get that saving, personalbrandingforphotographers.com/photobizx. It's not an affiliate link. There's nothing in this for me. I just talked to Maurice and asked if there's something special that I could do for PhotoBizX listeners. So he's come to the party, and I think this is going to be an incredibly valuable summit. If you are a personal brand photographer or looking at introducing personal branding into your business. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. I have mentioned in the past about the photography business coaching diaries. I have been busy recording those interviews. They're just about all done. I've been getting updates from the photographers that I have already interviewed for that segment. I'm expecting to release those early in the new year. So January 21 is when I'm going to be releasing those interviews and those audio diary recordings. And the plan is to follow along with these photographers over the next 6 to 12 months and see how their businesses develop with the photography coaches that they have employed. Stay tuned for that one. I'm also planning a couple of fun episodes over the Christmas New Year break. I'm actually working with PhotoBizX members inside the members Facebook group right now to find out what they want for these two episodes, because I like to, I guess, take a little bit more of a relaxed approach over that Christmas New Year break. So there's some fun ideas getting tossed around in the group. So stay tuned for those ones. And other than that, I hope you have a fantastic week. I hope you are staying safe, healthy, and well. I hope business is prospering for you right now. I hope things have opened up and you're able to photograph, to work, to book clients, and start building things for a successful 2021. Alrighty, that's it for me for this episode. I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.